Time now to catch up with Jeff from Silawan. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. And good morning to all your listeners.
Yes,
and our listeners.
Gee whiz. Yes.
Gee whiz.
And the other listeners,
yes, we're carrying
too.
On. I'm just fighting in here for a share of the internet. I've got competition this morning, Peter.
Have you?
I'm trying to do away with it gently.
I would just say, oops, click.
Yeah, well, as we were just chatting before we went on air, we only have ADSL here, and when you start to get, more than one person going, especially now everybody working at home, it just slows down to a crawl. I'm quite amazed, actually, that our communication speed is sufficient for the audio as we're doing.
It's fine. It's not breaking up at all.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. So anyway, that's what we got to live with, Peter. The internet is, down back to Pony Express, at least in this area. Of course, we don't have the NBN, but we only have ADSL, and that's because of the government's, sort of broken promise to every Australian that NBN will be available. It's just not, and we're close to cities, and we're only an hour from Newcastle in a relatively civilized area, Peter, and we just can't get NBN at all unless you go to satellite, which is very expensive and not very good service. I had it for a month or two, and it's actually quite poor. The speed varies so much. At least with the old ADSL here, Peter, we know with what our speed is going to be, just slow.
yeah, slow, slow, and slow, the whole three of them.
That's about it. So, anyway, Peter, it's a bit disappointing to look at our Premier's statement yesterday. I mean, I just do not understand politicians. And it was one of the silliest things that's happened in the last month since this coronavirus started. She made a statement yesterday that we're going to have this the lockdown in, she didn't say the current form, she was talking about social distancing.
Yep.
But that means essentially a lockdown because she can't be in a pub or a club or a restaurant if you have social distancing. She said it's going to stay until there's a vaccine. Well, scientists have told us it could be a year or a year and a half until vaccine comes. It's like, I got my army amassed behind me. We've got victory in sight. The average cases in Australia are down from 400 a month, 400 a day, a couple of weeks ago, down to 100 a day or less. And the army's victorious, and you turn around and you say, great, army, we're just about victorious, but I'm sorry to tell you your houses are gone and your business is gone and, your family's got nothing to eat. But don't worry, we're gonna send food rations out. But we're going to fight the good fight. We're not quite won yet, but we're nearly there. Talk about demoralize an army. She wants to have everybody's support the fight against the coronavirus, and then undercuts everybody. And it was a stupid statement because it wasn't necessary. Why was it necessary? Can you explain it to me?
No, actually, I can't.
It's stupid. Look, we're going to be in this battle at least for another week or two before. Although, did you see the article in the paper yesterday? Germany, who's still got 4,000 cases a day, has announced plans how they're going to get their economy going again. 4,000 cases a day, and they're planning to reinvigorate the economy and get the businesses open. And Sweden, of course, never closed down, but I think they're going to do the social distancing fairly soon because, they have 500 cases a day, and we're down to 100 or less, and she's talking about another 12 to 18 months possibly. It's just stupid. It demoralizes people, and it's not true, Peter. If the Prime Minister leaves the country locked down for another 18 months or 12 months to ever a vaccine's available, they might discover a vaccine tomorrow, Peter. It'll be 6 months before it's manufactured and available.
Yeah, they've got to go through all their little steps.
Yeah, it's such a stupid statement, and I just don't understand it at all. All it does is demoralize all those people own coffee shops and restaurants and, you know, bars and hotels and dress shops and whatever they own, you know, they're just being undercut. You know, sure they want to support everything. And as we mentioned yesterday, Peter, we're going to have to learn to live with a small level of positive infection. They've got to put the money into prevention, because it's going to be 20, like China, we talked about yesterday, 20 to 30 cases a day, probably until there is a vaccine. But we got to learn to live with it.
Well, I noticed the city where they found the virus, the con virus. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. Pardon me. They're now taking the barriers down so people can go shop again.
Well, of course, and they got 20 to 30 a day, I should say, and we're going to have to learn to live with it. You know, I don't like to, be non-neutral in politics, but, even Trump, and he's been poo-pooed in that, he said we've got to get the economy going again.
Yep.
And, you know, and it's very annoying, and I blame it on the press, Peter, largely. Couldn't help thinking yesterday's another elderly poor gentleman died who was on one of the cruise ships. You can't make headline news out of the death of one person. I mean, we had a death in our own family, my sister-in-law, this week. She died of pneumonia. She's a flu death. She didn't make the headlines. There were 3,000 alone last year in Victoria, as we said on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, and 10 children. It's just because the cases of coronavirus are going down, it's not newsworthy for the newspapers and the news services. The only thing that's going up, of course, are deaths, and they're going to tick them off one at a time, Peter. Most countries have got thousands of deaths. And so, you know, you can't take them all off. It just doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, I don't want to get hung up on all that. There was an interesting article in the paper this morning, Peter. There's some more of these spurts, these drips have said that there are probably 20 times as more cases in the world than have been tested. Now, you know, they're a little late to the bandwagon. We've been saying this for the last two or three weeks, especially in Italy, of course. That's Italy's problem. And that's why when we did our little calculation last week, you know, the daily recovery of people that have had the coronavirus in Italy, like exceed 20,000 a day. Their cases are down to 3,000 or 4,000 a day. But the reason why there's 20,000 to 30,000 cases a day recovering is because, firstly, they got a late start. And secondly, they're not finding anywhere near the people that actually have the virus. And that, Peter, is why those we talked about, and then in the letter I sent out about the broadcast we did last week. That's why we need these mobile testing stations. We need 1,000 of them, Peter. They can't cost a fraction of what the government's spending. Irresponsibly spending, in my mind, because giving money to people that just give it to Coles and Woolworths, and I have no problem, you got to feed people, but you got to do it next month, the month after, the month after. You got to solve the basic problem. That stopped the coronavirus. You put 1,000 drive-through centers out in Australia, and anybody can go in and get tested. You go towards prevention, Peter. You know, this government apparently doesn't remember the old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
And that's a nice change to the original. Yeah, very clever.
Yeah, so you've got to put it into the front end. And only a fraction of what they're spending. You know, testing is the key. And they'll eventually figure it out that that's how you have to operate. But why are they so slow to figure it out? You know, I read cases of patients, Peter, that have been in to see their doctor, and the doctor says, no, you don't satisfy the criteria to be tested. And they go home and they're a bit sick, they go back and they say, no, you still don't. And in 2 days, they're in the emergency on a ventilator, Peter.
It's amazing.
I mean, it is crazy. Anyway, what can we do? We can't do much. But countries are preparing to get their economy going again. And Australia is in one of the best positions of the G20. If you look at all the G20 countries, there's not too many that are on top of this, because we got, despite turning all those cruise ship passengers loose and doing some absolutely stupid things, the government, we've managed to get on top of it fairly well compared to many other countries. And that's because of isolation, and because we have control of our borders and a few other things. But anyway, Peter, can't... we're in a sort of holding pattern now. If we could just stop our politicians from making stupid statements. Give the poor woman that was featured in the newspaper that only has her coffee shop in town, huge rents, 6 months, shut down, just about crying in the newspaper, you could feel her agony to the point. Give us some hope, that something's going to happen. Don't tell her she's going to be closed for another 12 to 18 months. It's just insane.
Yeah, well, I noticed that myself. Like, we'll get together, in relation to the networks, and work out where we're going to go and what we're going to do. And now we normally sit down and have a bite to eat to do that, but because of the current restrictions, we can't do that.
Yeah.
So we've got to get together via video chat.
Well, Peter, if we keep pounding it long enough, okay, so if a restaurant holds 100 people, okay, give them the right to seat 50 or 25 even. Let them stay in business, so you can separate the clients, separate the customers.
Yeah.
You can keep social distance. If a restaurant holds 100 people and you only let 25 in there, you can keep social distancing. And you can keep the... company or the restaurant from going broke. It's just cut capacities, and they'll have to do that in some form sooner or later. Where do they think the money is going to come? The government. This is what I don't understand. They think it's their money, Peter. Okay, and they're giving it out to people, out of work people, and pensions. It's fine. They spend it at Woolworths and Coles, and next month they go back to the kitty and they dish out a bit more, but they got all the businesses shut down, Peter. So in the next month or the month after, they go back to the kitty to see what they got. They got nothing there.
That's
because
right.
What's producing that money is shut down.
Boy, are we going to cop it when this is all over?
Ah, jeez, but it just said. Look, it boggles my mind that there's so little forethought given to what's happening. We talked about when they publish statistics, like we're down around 100 in Australia, we're less than 50 in New South Wales, 50 cases a day, and 100 in Australia. And so we're heading down towards almost nothing. And we always said, Peter, there's a 6-day lag there. So we've dropped from 200 to 300 to around 100 in the last week to 10 days. So, and we know there's a 6-day lag from infection to data that they publish. So today, if you follow that curve down, which I did in that information I sent to you, it means that in another 6 days, 7 days, Peter, we should be down around 50 cases a day or less. Now, the point is, we're not going to get much less than that, Peter. Just look at China.
Yep.
We're going to stay around 20 to 30, maybe down to 10, maybe up to 40 a day indefinitely. Are we going to keep the country locked down?
Well, I'd say they've taken that because, they close a beach, and then the minute your back is turned, there's some clown on the sand, and several of them. Closed means closed. It doesn't mean sneak around and go there anyway. We seem to have this defiant attitude, and not only on the beach, on the buses, everything. I've had to move people on the bus. Say, don't sit there, sit over there. Social distancing. I'll get my mouth around it eventually.
Yeah.
They just don't care.
Well, I think, Peter, they've lost faith in the government. There's only 40 cases in New South Wales. What are the odds a day? What are the odds you're ever going to run into somebody who's got coronavirus? Very low at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to learn. I don't think they should have closed the beaches, Peter. I think what they should have done is close the facilities. Limited people to 1 hour exercise swim. No laying on the beach. You come to the beach, you drop your towel, you go in the water, you have a swim, you come out, you pick it up, and you go home. You know, I mean, you can keep your social distancing. You can't lock everybody up all the time. You've got to use some reason here. And a lot of people live by their morning swim, and they should be able to have it. That's my feeling about mm-hmm. it. They don't contravene social distancing, and they can patrol it with police or lifeguards or whatever. Just close all the facilities. That's where the disease gets spread, you know?
Yep.
And just people come down, have their swim, go home. You know, these parties, beach parties and rooftop parties and things that had to be stopped, but not going to the beach for a swim. You know, going to the beach in a group and laying around, sure, you know, until social distancing gets lifted. But going to the beach for a swim, that's an entirely different thing. But anyway, Peter, that's probably enough. We're going to drift along here. Politicians doing one stupid thing after another. We do have one or two health items to talk about today, Peter.
Yes, please.
And yeah, we talked about this a little bit before when the inchworm life was extended by a factor of five. And we joked about the fact that people are going to start to live to 300 or, you know, a bit more because of this inchworm successful experiment. Well, there was another one published today. This came out of Stanford University. Stanford Medicine is the source. They have found now that let me read it to you. Researchers found that elderly mice regained youthful strength after their existing muscle stem cells were subject to the rejuvenating protein treatment and transplanted back into their bodies.
Mm.
Okay, so this is a new sort of step in science, Peter, and I don't know how the governments are going to control it or whatever, but rejuvenating processes and treatments are going to become, because this is, we've talked about two of them on the radio, but there's going to be a lot more, and like cloning, the government's probably going to have to set, you know, rules and regulations, but they only work in the sort of G20 countries or the countries that are concerned about such things. What happens is, like all these radical treatments, as soon as they're outlawed in the United States and Canada, all the clinics set up in Mexico and people just go across the border for the treatment. And that's what's going to happen with all these types of technologies. Somebody's going to say, gee, look at that treatment. That adds 50 years to my life.
Yep.
I got the money. I'll go across the border and I'll get the treatment. And it's going to be a difficult situation to deal with, I think, over the next 10 years, Peter. the world's going to get a bit crowded. I think we don't end up like China or one child, you know, per family law. So, but certainly it's something that I don't think just governments. I think society is going to have to deal with it.
I think you're right.
Yeah, so
one thing I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I say one thing we can deal with is enjoying our weekend despite the fact that we are homeward bound.
Yeah, we can do that, Peter. We can have a nice glass of wine. It's Easter this weekend, Peter, and Easter is a time of wine when we think about what Easter is about. And we hope desperately that science doesn't duplicate Jesus anytime soon in turning water into wine.
No, otherwise you're going to be crowded. By the way, speaking of wine, mate, the selection you sent, absolutely delicious.
Great, great. Did you try the 217 Merlot?
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful drop of wine.
Yeah, you did well that year. Yeah,
yeah, so... Yeah, Peter, so it is. It's a time to, And then people aren't going to be traveling because of the rules and regulations. Although, Peter, we went into town yesterday. Bob had to go into the hospital, and then we went to do some shopping. And you wouldn't have known that there's any restrictions on the traffic. Mm. You know, even a small town like Singleton, there were traffic everywhere.
Yeah, it's amazing. Absolutely yeah, amazing.
Yes, well, so it's still functioning, but all the shops are closed. So, and I went to the hospital, parking lot's full, couldn't get in there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and it's not coronavirus, Peter, so that part of the system is still functioning. The mall was closed except for Coles and Woolworths, of course.
Yeah.
And everything else is closed. So how come social distancing is allowed in Coles and Woolworths, and the poor woman down the mall that has a dress shop that, you know, maybe gets 20 customers a day can't social distance? You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, so, never mind. Let's get people to get the wine at least to enjoy with their family. You can't have yes. rallies and all that, but it's pretty easy to get the wine.
Yes, you can go online, cellarwines.com.au, or you can call us here at the vineyard. We're still technically open, Peter. We can't wine taste or anything, but people, and occasionally they do, they drive here and they get a case of wine or something. It's, you know, we're a cellar door. We're not really a retail store, but some of the locals come. And of course, we're shipping, you know, regularly all over Australia. Freight-free, courier-free. It comes by courier, the wine, and it's freight prepaid all over Australia, Peter. So no excuse.
Sounds wonderful, mate. And a pat from Buddy, too.
Yeah, pat from Buddy. Oh, Buddy's in a bit of trouble again.
Oh, what's he done now?
Well, I'm not sure what he's done. You know, he's listening a bit better, but still not. We find him out on the road and, you know, and then he wanders off to the neighbors and so on. You know, it's probably in more civilized areas, not that we're not civilized, but we're bigger. You know, Bob, I got it, Bob, okay? Bigger and in this area, stray dogs get out, farmers shoot them. And
that's
so
right.
He's got to learn to stay around. He's got a collar and she's chipped and everything. But hey, when he's 100 yards away and he's in somebody's paddock that has sheep or cattle, they don't care what he is. They just bring out the gun and that's it.
Yeah, boom, boom. Oh. Don't come yeah. into my room.
Exactly. And Bob was just poking a note under my nose here about Easter holidays and was
school holidays.
I'm not sure why we're marking school holidays,
because
but anyway.
Parents need wine.
Oh, parents need wine for their children. Oh, no, not for their children. Okay.
They'll be terribly pleasantly.
Yeah, parents need wine to put up with their children. But then again, only half of them are in school anyway, Peter. So at least the Prime Minister left that decision to the states. And so far, our Premier, who started to make some pretty silly decisions, hasn't gone any further with that. So I hope that the Prime Minister, I think, has a little better understanding of the electorate probably than the Premiers do. I don't think the Victorian Premier is ever going to get elected again. The way she's going here in New South Wales, she may not either. Prime Minister's handling of this is probably going to get him elected again, Peter.
That's right. Yeah, well, a lot of people are saying, regardless of his political party, the man has sat in the seat. He's only been there a little while, and he's getting on with it.
Well, that's the point is he hasn't done anything overly stupid. They did a couple of things, I think, you know, relying too much on their minions to handle things like cruise ships and that. But I think the government and the Prime Minister himself's taken a direct hand in that with the cruise ships. They're handling it, obviously, a lot better than they did and various other things. And he hasn't gone overboard and he's left things to the province to the states a bit, and I think the state government's going to have to be a bit worried about who the electorate's going to blame the fact that the economy tanked. They're not going to blame it as much on the Prime Minister, they're going to blame it on the Premier.
That's for sure. Mate, the address where people can get that lovely wine?
Yeah, cellarwines.com.au, Peter. And, you know, next day delivery to most areas. We've got friends in Buck Wyatt, who's my best named customer, Buck Wyatt in Perth. And if Buck's listening, hi, Buck.
That's for sure.
Yeah, free delivery Australia-wide, Peter.
All right, mate, thank you very much. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you. Yeah, hope so. Bye-bye.
Thank you, mate. Bye-bye now, and happy Easter. AcellaWines.com.au is the address.